The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Rain Shadow, Aaron?
Yeah, Rain Shadow.
Isn't that an old Cat Stevens song?
It could be. I like it.
Followed by a rain shadow.
Rain shadow. So what's happening is the wind is coming off from the west, but the Cascade Mountains are blocking all this wind, doing something in the air, and keeping Bremerton, Seattle, and Bellevue relatively dry.
Well, you know what?
It's kind of funny.
First of all, the Cat Stevens song was Moonshadow. But the Cascade Mountains are blocking all this. This goes back to what I've been advocating for pretty much my entire radio career. We should tear down the Cascade Mountains.
Okay.
Just tear them down. Take them down to, sea level. I know they're pretty, but if they're causing rain shadows, we got to think about the cost versus benefit here.
It's the Olympic Mountains, by the way, that are doing it.
Let's tear them down.
Tear down the Olympics?
Let's tear them both down. Yeah, just a thought.
They're gorgeous.
Okay. That's our Dory Monson Show text question of the day. Do you believe that we should tear down both the Cascade and Olympic mountain ranges?
I say no.
And so far, the early voting is 1-0 no.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to the big show. And we have a show that is just filled with political and media intrigue as we get going. You probably have not heard about this story yet today, but there is something pretty incredible going on between a major network and the Democrat Party. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So as you know, it was just 7 days ago in the wee hours of last Friday morning when Paul Pelosi was attacked by a hallucinogenic, mind-blown, Black Lives Matter, pride flag waving, Berkeley trailer living, somewhat homeless nudist. And immediately a storyline emerged in the moments after they found out about this attack, and they started finding out about 5:30, 6 a.m. East Coast time. And the Democrats started working on, because they saw this election slipping away. They were hoping for a Hail Mary. And so the storyline that they concocted was that the psychedelic, mind-blown Berkeley trailer nudist, felony illegal alien nudist, forgot about those things too. Their story was that this is an extension of what happened on January 6th. It was one of the stupidest political strategies that I have ever seen in all of my years on the air. And wait until you hear the latest development with this. But let's take you back. Last Friday, when the blood on the hammer wasn't dry yet, Jay Inslee stood before cameras and with certainty knew whose fault this attack was. And it wasn't the hallucinogenic, mind-blown, illegal alien felony committing nudist. No, whose fault was it, Jay Inslee?
Tiffany Smiley, Matt Larkin, Joe Kent.
Ah.
They're enabling this election denial, which foments this violence. When these candidates are asked point blank, was Joe Biden fairly elected, they refuse to answer. And yet, they go around allowing and enabling these doubts about the fairness of our election to spring and to grow.
That was the strategy. They not only enabled this, but they fomented it. Good usage of foment, Jay. If Wordle ever goes to six letters, foment. Okay, so that was the strategy. Joe Biden, the exact same day.
All this happened after the assault. And it just, it's hard to even say. It's hard to even say after this.
I put this out yesterday. It was hard to say because he misread the teleprompter. And then he went on.
Assailant entered the home asking.
See, he was trying to say assailant, but he misread the word assailants. Like, it's just, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Good cover up, Joe.
If it's hard to even say.
Well, back up.
The assault. And it just, It's hard to even say. After the assailant entered the home asking.
It's hard for you to say. So he said that same thing, that this was January 6th and political violence. Now, there's one little teensy tiny problem that has emerged just in the last couple of hours with this whole story. So this morning on NBC's Today Show, now NBC News is a gigantic operation. The Today Show is the biggest moneymaker on the NBC's entire network. Nothing makes more money than the Today Show. Therefore, no program has more resources than the Today Show. And this morning, a fantastic correspondent on the Today Show, Miguel Almaguer, he ran a story that is incredibly damning to the Jay Inslee, Joe Biden, every Democrat and everybody else in the media, power brokers, that this was a extension of January 6th and political violence, and it was fomenting hatred. So I'm going to play you this Today Show. I'm going to play you most of it because you're not going to hear it anyplace else. The reason you're not going to hear it anyplace else is because NBC News, after this story aired on the East Coast, the Democrat Party went berserk. Because it destroyed the Jay Inslee, Joe Biden view ladies storyline about the Paul Pelosi attack. This NBC Today Show story has been spiked. NBC on their Today Show website, the video will not play. And NBC has added this editor's note. This piece should not have aired. Because it did not meet NBC News reporting standards. So what's in the story that is so damning to Joe Biden and Jay Inslee and their party that NBC News has had to spike the story? Because I guarantee you this story was thoroughly vetted. It went through layers of editors, everything on the Today Show does. And then after it aired, the Democrats realized. Now I'm telling you this. I don't have facts about how the Democrats intervened, but I guarantee you this is how it went down. It aired. It killed the Jay Inslee, Joe Biden storyline. And the Democrats said, you got to spike this story. Okay, let's listen now. I'm going to take you through most of this. So this is on the Today Show this morning. And here's the story that they will not allow anybody to see now.
This morning, Paul Pelosi is home, back at the house that became a crime scene a week ago today. NBC News learning new details about the moments police arrived. Sources familiar with what unfolded in the Pelosi residence.
Okay, what happened in the moments after the police arrived? Well, we know what happened. The angry illegal alien felonious nudist. He was fomented by January 6th, and he went to screaming, "Where's Nancy?" And he went swinging a hammer to carry out political violence because of Joe Kent and Tiffany Smiley and Matt Larkin. We all know that that's what happened, right? Well, not according to this Today Show piece that aired on the East Coast today.
Now revealing, when officers responded to the high-priority call, they were seemingly unaware they'd been called to the home of the Speaker of the House.
Okay, first, how is that? Cops respond to Nancy Pelosi's house, and they're unaware that it's Nancy Pelosi's house. Okay. Go on.
After a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi.
Whoa, 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 whoa. So the police knocked on the door and Paul Pelosi answered it. Okay, so this was before the hammer attack. So he dove his frail 82-year-old body into the arms of the cops and said, "Protect me from the felonious illegal alien nudist." Is that what Paul Pelosi did? Let's find out from the Today Show.
The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police.
Are you listening to this? And as Miguel Almendar is doing the story, he has a police report on the screen, and the words, the narrative, there's a scrolling yellow highlight on the police report showing that these are the words from the police report. So Paul Pelosi opened the door. He didn't say to the police that he was in trouble. He didn't go toward the police saying, hey, there's a guy over there with a hammer. Instead, Paul Pelosi walked away from the police and back toward David DePape.
Or tried to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources.
Okay, unsure what his mental state was. Okay, there's another area where one could hypothesize, and I am one. A few months ago, Paul Pelosi was driving drunk out of his mind, could have killed people. The details of that DUI, when he tried to pull out a police benevolent card and say, do you know who I am? And was there anybody with him? If Paul Pelosi got so drunk in the wee hours of that morning months ago that his mental state could be that he was just drunk as could be, as he was walking away from the police toward the so-called assailant.
According to court documents, when the officer asked what was going on, defendant smiled and said everything's good. But instantaneously, a struggle ensued as police clearly saw David DePape strike Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer.
Okay, so Pelosi walks away from the police towards DePape. Everything's fine, and then DePape hits Pelosi with the hammer. Okay, it's very different from the narrative that's been pushed out for the last 7 days.
After tackling the suspect, officers rushed to Mr. Pelosi, who was lying in a pool of blood.
What we do know is he brutally attacked Mr. Pelosi and attempted to kill him.
After spending several days in the ICU, Pelosi, who is recovering from a fractured skull and serious injuries to his arm and hand, is now home where Capitol Police remain on alert. Investigators have previously said Pelosi did not know DePape when the 42-year-old broke into his home. Why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear.
Okay, now that's critical. Somebody breaks into your house, has a hammer, the police arrive 30 minutes later. Who knows what happened during those 30 minutes? The police arrive and he doesn't say, this guy broke into my house, get him, get him, get him. Instead, Paul Pelosi walks away from the cops towards the home break-in intruder with a hammer. All according to the police documents that NBC's Today Show was citing as they put together this story today.
Fear takes over. Fear freezes people.
This morning, the 82-year-old, lucky to be alive after an intruder nearly killed him in his own home.
Law enforcement officials tell us the bottom line here is this was a terrifying situation. We still don't know exactly what unfolded between Mr. Pelosi and the suspect for the 30 minutes they were alone inside that house before police arrived. Officials who were investigating this matter would not go into further details about these new details.
Okay, so they are alone in the house together for 30 minutes. That's when Pelosi calls the police. They arrive within 4 minutes. Pelosi opens the door for the cops, had still not been struck with the hammer. And then he walks away from the cops instead of running to them for help and runs back towards David DePape. Now that we know that, let's reflect once again on why this happened according to our governor, Jay Inslee.
Tiffany Smiley, Matt Larkin, Joe Kent, they're enabling this election denial, which foments this violence. When these candidates are asked point blank, with Joe Biden fairly elected, they refused.
Yeah, now all that rest is irrelevant because this wasn't about election denialism, which we knew. I mean, I was laughing about that last Friday when Jay Inslee first said it. This is not about election denialism. This is not about January 6th. This is about the half hour that the two guys were together in that house before Paul Pelosi called the police. This is about Paul Pelosi choosing. You know, when you were kids, you and your sibling, you'd each sit on the floor and put your dog in the middle and see who the dog likes better. Come to me. You love me better. And then siblings said, no, come to me. Well, Paul Pelosi was that dog. And the San Francisco police and the hammer-wielding, hallucinogenic-blown, illegal alien nudist was the other sibling. And they're both, Paul, come to me. And Paul Pelosi chose the nudist. That's who he decided to go to. Okay, and so the other gigantic part of this story, we're going to analyze this throughout the afternoon, but NBC News, after the story aired on the East Coast edition of the Today Show, again, here's the editor's note. The piece should not have aired because it did not meet NBC News reporting standards. Nancy Pelosi and her party, which NBC News loves, there are few networks that love Democrats more than NBC News. They got to the highest level of NBC News and said, spike it. Because it completely defeats the narrative of the last 7 days by the Joe Bidens and Jay Inslees of the world. Okay, we're going to have a lot more on this throughout the afternoon. This is a fascinating story. And as I said, you're not going to hear about this anywhere else in the mainstream media, that their stories can be spiked by the Democratic Party in panic before an election. Okay, that's your big lead, but we're going to check the news for you. And then a direct competitor of NBC's Today Show, the number one rated cable news morning show is Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. He's just finding out about this NBC spiking of the story. He's going to join us. That is coming up next as our coverage continues here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, who better to visit with as we are now just 4 days away from what could be a monumental midterm election in America, and the hysteria is growing exponentially. Brian Kilmeade is the co-host of the very popular, top-rated on cable morning news show, Fox and Friends. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Brian, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. Also, I just got to add, since the last time we spoke, I also have a show, 8 o'clock Eastern, Saturday night, 8, and it's repeated at 11. So I believe that would be 5 o'clock your time.
Yes, it would be. That's good math. Yeah. Okay, so I know you're just finding out. I led my show with this a half hour ago. I know you're just finding out about this. But NBC News, this morning on the Today Show, they run a Paul Pelosi story, and it had some contradictions from the federal report that's been pushed out. But specifically, it said Paul Pelosi was in the house for a half hour with DePape before the police arrived. Paul Pelosi opened the door, didn't tell the police he was in trouble, turned and walked back toward DePape, and that's when he got hit with the hammer. NBC News, Brian, has now spiked this story, and I know that Today Show's a direct competitor of yours, but what do you make of this?
It's gutless. I mean, that this is legitimate. This is a timeline, and to pull this story like this is because they were just watching the back of Nancy Pelosi again. I mean, this is what everyone's talking about. Remember, they said, Politico said, a third person answered the door. Why? And then when they had the press conference, they couldn't answer the question, who answered the door? We're still getting details. What do you mean you're still getting details? That's the most basic detail. Did anyone ask a police officer who answered the door that let you, who let you into the house?
Right.
So, yeah, and where's this guy? Why is he the only one in America who doesn't get that? He doesn't get zero cash bail. So he's not allowed out right away. So he's jailed, bolted away. Who knows what kind of thing for him? So this has a ton of questions on it. How do you, this is not some fringe cable network, and I'm not talking about Fox or any cable network who ran a story unsubstantiated. This is NBC. and clearly have read their standards. Why else would it be on the Today Show?
Well, because on something like the Today Show, there are layers of editors before something airs, and then for it to air, and then they put an editor's note in that says it did not meet our standards, it sounds to me like it's just a protection racket for Nancy and Paul Pelosi. And a larger issue, since Joe Biden and our governor here in Washington, Jay Inslee, they immediately blamed all of this on January 6th. It sounds like a news operation running a protection racket for the Pelosis and the Democrat Party right before the midterms.
I mean, what else would you conclude? And for them to have that ridiculous speech on Tuesday and say they were chanting, "Where's Nancy?" Really? Yeah. That's what you, when you want to find Nancy, that's what you say. It's not a secret code for QAnon. So this guy is a nudist. This guy is a nudist illegal alien who is a child molester, according to his ex-wife, who lives in a school bus and is, seems to be all but homeless. And now they're saying, well, if it wasn't for January 6th, he wouldn't have attacked Paul Pelosi. Really? When that's a bridge too far in a speech we didn't need to hear.
Well, in the hours after the attack, last Friday, as I said, Joe Biden and our governor here in Washington, Jay Inslee, they immediately came out and said that this was about January 6th, that this was about political insurrection, just ran down all the exact same talking points. And I mean, so this is how it looks to me, Brian. It looks like the talking points were crafted by the party immediately after this attack, that Biden and Inslee and Gavin Newsom, they all run with it. And then NBC runs a story that contradicts their talking points. And then the story gets spiked. I mean, there are two stories here. One, the facts in the NBC story, and then the media political intrigue of the story getting spiked since then.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And now they want to have their worst nightmare. They wanted to say January 6th, Republicans are dangerous. MAGA, Donald Trump is dangerous. And now they say, well, turns out you're, this is as dicey as your DWI. You know, Paul Pelosi, we still don't have all the details on that. Paul Pelosi basically almost kills somebody driving drunk and then tries to use a police benevolence pass to get himself out of it and talks about some board that he's on, which simply been rescinded, to try to get some special discompensation. And I ask you, too, once again, Nancy Pelosi's not around. Paul's getting a little bored. So something's going on here.
Well, and if he was in the house for a half hour before the police arrived uninjured, then, yeah, there's a lot more to the story that needs to come out. I saw you get very defensive, Brian, in the day or days right after the story broke because of Joe Biden, well, it's particularly Gavin Newsom, talking about your colleague, Jesse Waters, and trying to pin the attack by the mind-blown psychedelic nudist. They tried to pin it on your colleague covering his DUI. I mean, from the very beginning, Brian, this has been just one of the most bizarre bits of spin that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I wouldn't say defensive. I was just offended that he took 15 minutes out of primetime television to make a campaign speech that nobody wanted to hear, the substance of which contained very little facts. He basically is coming out saying it's like it's January 7th. I'm offended about the insurrection. The invaders, you know, of the Capitol building. Okay, we all are. And there's nonstop talk about it on CNN and MSNBC, on the Daily Beast. We got it. And you have hearings. We understand it. And now you go, I'm really offended. Donald Trump lost. I won. And you got to accept election results. Okay.
Yeah.
What really is going on behind closed doors, according to Politico, is that he can't believe all those, all the Democrats that back these so-called election deniers have candidates who won their primary due to Democratic money who now are close to winning office because they're winning the general. Turns out they spent between $47 and $53 million to prop up people that they thought was they deemed as unelectable in the general so they have an easy time holding on to seats and instead are gaining seats. Instead, they got people like Tudor Dixon, people like Kerry Lake, people like Blake Masters, Dom Bolduc, who are on either leading or on the close to overtaking the established Democratic candidate. So in a panic, he runs out because no one wants to get him to campaign with him. And he just gives some yelling speech where he repeats himself four times within 20 minutes. So that's what I'm talking about. You just can't abuse the office like that. Don't tell me the president's got an address and make it pure fictional politics.
It's amazing. You know, another one of those candidates that the Democrats elevated because they thought he'd be easier to beat. He's a very good friend of our radio show, and that's Joe Kent here in Washington State. And he's going to blow out his opponent now. So then the other talking point, Brian, in the last 24 hours, is that if the election goes the way it certainly appears, like it's headed, that it will be the end of democracy. And everybody got that exact same talking point. We had about 30 different people using those words yesterday. It's so transparent how crafted this is, including media members using the exact same phrase, not just politicians. I mean, is there any doubt that there's tremendous collusion between one political party and many members of the media?
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And remember, remember what the last national security advisor was saying, that Obama says was saying during the Obama years. It's amazing. I put it out and it comes back to me in questions at press conferences. So they know what's going on.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the American people have a vote, too. And they don't seem to be buying it. If they were buying it, you'd be talking about how slim the victory was going to be in the House and how what a long shot would be for the Republicans to take the Senate. Instead, they're expected to get 30, 40, maybe more seats in the House. And the Senate now a 51% chance, according to Nate Silver's 538, of taking the Senate. And I think there's even a better chance of that now, probably by the end of the day.
Yeah, I would think so, especially with this Pelosi story blowing up on. All right, Brian, hold on. We're going to spend the rest of the half hour with Brian Kilmeade. He's the co-host of Fox and Friends, the number one morning show on cable news. And he also is the author of a book that might have some parallels between history and today. We're going to talk about that. Our conversation with Brian will continue as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. All right, we are back. Brian Kilmeade is with us. He is co-host, one of the triumvirate at the top of the number one cable news show, Fox and Friends, and also the author of a new book. I'm going to get to that in just a second here. So, Brian, what's your prediction on what's going to happen Tuesday? We're just over 96 hours out from the first returns coming in. How do you think it's going to play out?
Well, what I think basically is Kevin McCarthy is going to be the speaker. And barring any other breaking news, Bulldog, Masters, Walker, Oz, Tiffany Smiley, and Joe O'Day is a long shot. I think everybody except Smiley is on the cusp of, like, within 1 or 2 points margin of error, which I believe the sentiment will be to flip it. So, and, you know, the fact that they're throwing everything at Herschel Walker, and now he's got a 3-point lead, if I'm to believe the latest polls, and there he's anything but destroyed, I think that shows that maybe they're going to have a Republican going to have a huge day.
Well, I knew the Democrats were frightened here in Washington State when Chuck Schumer started moving campaign cash to Patty Murray. That's when we knew they were worried about Tiffany Smiley. And she's still an underdog, but the fact the Democrats are so concerned about her, she definitely has a shot. We're talking with Brian Kilmeade, co-host of the very popular Fox and Friends. And Brian, I love your books. You have your most recent book, The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. What lessons, as you research the great history that you write,
right,
what lessons translate into what we're seeing today?
Well, I mean, the book came out last year, but the paperback, I added some news that took place. When you talk about the would-be's taking down the Emancipation Monument in Lincoln Square in Washington, D.C. during the George Floyd riots, and they ripped out Frederick Douglass's statue, his statue in Rochester where he spent most of his free life. I just added that because it just shows how twisted people are getting about our history. They would have to have these mythical figures, and they got to live up to living these perfect lives in order to be memorialized. and just how ridiculous it was. If Frederick Douglass had a statue written out, you should have made another one. And number two is, you leave that other statue out there because it was paid for by emancipated slaves. If you don't like the design, add to the square. But don't rip the statue out. It's just part of the whole revisionist history. We're now judging people by the generation we're in instead of the generation they're in. And they lived and died. So with President Freedom Fighter, I just tried to highlight two self-made man stories that helped make America a better place during our most vital time, and that's the cusp and the during the Civil War. And they knew each other, respected each other from afar. Frederick Douglass was critical of Lincoln, wrote a lot about it in his newspaper, The North Star. But in the end, they were able to combine and help draft African Americans into the army, as well as fight for equal pay between blacks and whites when it comes to serving. And when it was time to get him reelected, Frederick Douglass played a huge role in the president getting reelected,
yeah,
and was invited to the inaugural. And to see an African, a person who was a slave 10 years, 15 years before, on the platform with the inauguration of the American president, just shows how special he was and how open-minded Lincoln was.
And you spent a lot of time, and we're almost out of time here, but you spent a lot of time researching that time in American history. There are a lot of people who believe that right now is the most precarious time since then, in the last 160 years. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I didn't live through the 60s, but it seemed pretty bad. And you had a huge problem in the South. Separate water fountains, front back of the bus, separate hotels. You know, you had a lot of the violence in the South. Ku Klux Klan was still a factor. I think that if you ask for division, I think you have division. The Vietnam War dividing the country, the draft, the dodging of the draft. So you had the assassinations of RFK, of MLK, Medgar Evers to start it all off. I would say that's more tumultuous than now.
See, I agree with that. I've always believed that people have great ego about the time in which they live and that it's the most fill in the blank. But I think you're right on about that. Brian, it's always good talking with Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Top Rated Fox and Friends. He hosts One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on the weekends. And we're kind of radio competitors, but you also do a 3-hour radio show every day.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Brian, it's great talking with you, and we'll stay in touch.
I know. I appreciate it, Don. Thank you. And BrianKilmeade.com if everybody wants it personalized. Thanks so much.
You got it. Okay. Brian Kilmeade joining us. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text us at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We'll check the news and then the Fast 15. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.